No, really, Craig, we could get mud baths and stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. And you know that some bad stuff's going on around the world in the Middle East. The world has watched and waited for the crucial next step in the volatile Middle East crisis as the deadline imposed by Israeli Prime Minister Barak for Palestinians to end the violence expired at sundown. And when they say sundown, I guess they mean Israeli time, huh? This just in, President Clinton failed to win agreement on an emergency Mideast summit following a round of telephone calls with Israeli, Palestinian, and Egyptian leaders. According to a senior U.S. official, there has to be agreement among all the players on something that makes sense before a summit can proceed. We have a think tank representative on the line from American Global Systems, International, Brad Rifkin. They have been working on this situation over there, and I guess that's part and parcel of what you guys do at a think tank, is you think up solutions?
That's correct, Phil. We think, I guess that's a simple way of putting it, yeah.
What about this crisis in the Middle East right now? Born of a, right in the middle of a peace process, born apparently, allegedly, according to Palestinians, of some kind of misbehavior on the part of Israeli soldiers?
I don't know. At any time, a type of situation like this, the situation can become muddled and the information very difficult to get a hold of. Would they bring us in on this at this level, Phil, for solutions?
All right. How about the solutions?
Well, I think the solution to the Middle East, the problem, first of all, is to look at it squarely for what it is. And the situation in the Middle East right now is pathetic. It's deteriorating and it's destructive and it doesn't need to be. I want to mention some names to you, Phil, and you tell me what they have in common, okay? It's a little bit of a game.
This is a think tank game?
You could call it a think tank game, but I will mention these names. Woody Allen, Mel Brooks, Barbara Streisand, Richard Dreyfuss, Jeff Goldblum, Bob Dylan, Paul Newman, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, Steven Spielberg. What do these people have in common?
Well, they're entertainers.
They are entertainers, but beyond being entertainers, what do they have in common?
They're obviously Americans.
Okay, that is true too, Phil. But what else? What's the one thing that is important to this situation that they have in common? Important to the Middle East.
Important to the Middle East.
Right. What do they have in common?
Woody Allen,
Mel Brooks, Barbara Streisand, Richard Dreyfuss, Jeff Goldblum, Bob Dylan, Paul Newman, Dr. Laura, Steven Spielberg.
Having to do with the Middle East, they're singers?
They're not. Laura Schlesinger.
I'm sorry, they're not singers, no.
They're probably only one singer.
Yeah, they're actors.
They are actors. Forget about that. What do they have in common?
Forget about what?
Forget about what they do for a living, and forget about what the country they come from. What else do they have in common?
Woody Allen, Mel Brooks.
Yeah, Woody Allen, Mel Brooks, Paul Newman, Dr. Laura Schlesinger. What do they have in common? Holy Christ. What do they have in common?
I'm trying to think.
What do they have in common? It has to do with the Middle East.
What do all those people have in common, and it has to do with the Middle East? They're all over 40.
What is it? They're not...
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Rifkin. I can't play this game. What do they have in common?
No, it's easy.
I can't play this game, sir. What do they have in common?
It's easy. Just take one more guess.
It has to do with the Middle East. Woody Allen, what has he got to do with the Middle East?
What has he got in common with Steven Spielberg?
What does Woody Allen have in common with Steven Spielberg? They're in the show business.
Oh, my Christ. What? Look, I...
And please watch your language.
I'm sorry, sir.
They're all directors. Is that it?
No, that's not it.
They took today off.
Yeah, I guess they took today off.
Because it's Yom Kippur.
Right. So what do they have in common? Oh, come on. Yom Kippur. What is that?
It's a holiday.
What kind of holiday?
It's a Jewish holiday.
Then what do these people have in common? You know something, Mr. Henry? I should hang up and call back.
I'm sorry. I can't get it. Mike knows. What is it, Mike? They're Jewish.
Yeah, you go. Ding, ding, ding. Man, I have done, seriously, Phil, I've done something like 20 radio interviews since last Friday, and I have never had a host have a problem with that.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't generally see people in terms of their religion or their...
Oh, come on. You know, look, I realize you're a nice guy, and you don't want to be...
I don't. I don't see people in terms of religion or race, for that matter. You could have named 15 black guys and said, what do they have in common, and I wouldn't have gotten black.
Well, then, mister, you're alone. I admire that, but you are alone among the human race, okay? That was a... I mean, I gave you the hip...
All right, forget about the hint you gave me. Let's talk about what we're talking about.
All right. Well, what I'm saying is... I'm having a... I gotta get a drink of coffee. Hold on for a minute.
Well, was I stupid? I guess I was stupid. I didn't know what they had in common.
I can't even... I can't even remember what it was I came on your show for now.
I'm sorry.
All right,
we're talking about the Middle East, and you mentioned Woody Allen, Mel Brooks. They're all Jewish.
Yes, they're all Jewish.
Okay, what has this got to do with anything?
All right, the point that I'm trying to make and what we have thought about and what we are coming up with proposals on, these are all Jews, and they are Jewish members of perhaps the most powerful body of people in the world, the American Entertainer. And the world loves the American Entertainer. The world is charmed by the American Entertainer, and nothing is more charming than the American Jewish Entertainer. Comedies, comedians, actors, we could have these Jewish performers down there charming the Palestinians into a calm, reasonable way out of this mess. And one thing about Palestinians, Phil, that we find, they hate Jews, but they forget they're Jewish when they're in a movie. Okay? So,
all right, hold on for a minute. I got to reset. We're talking with Brad Rifkin. He's with American Global. Name of your think tank is American Global Systems.
American Global Systems International.
Okay. And we're talking about how we can get some peace in the Middle East. And I'm sorry, sir, if I couldn't guess that they were Jewish.
Well, you backed yourself into a corner now. How much time we got?
We only got about 2 minutes before the break. Let me give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686. Are you saying American Jewish entertainers could go down and cool this situation out?
Yes, I am.
How?
I
must be kind of slow today, sir. Forgive me, I'm sick, but how?
Because they're charming, they could go down there and begin a tour of the area and begin to meet with Palestinians and show them that not Jewish people are not evil people. Just by being themselves and showing them that Jewish people can be very charming, very entertaining, very funny, very compelling, people in general don't like the Jewish people. I don't know why, but they'll forgive them if they're an actor. And these Palestinian people are not... They're not a very advanced people. What you're dealing with are the Palestinians and the Jews. The Jews are a little bit more advanced. A lot of them come to America. They're in entertainment. Palestinians are not very advanced. They throw rocks. I mean, look at these people are down there throwing rocks. And nothing could be clearer as to how backward the Palestinian people are. They're throwing rocks. And the thing that I don't get is why everybody is afraid of this.
Well, a rock can hurt people.
Well, a rock can hurt. The Jewish, they got guns. Okay.
I know that, but I mean the fact is that they're violent, that they're tossing rocks.
Well, they're rocks, and that shows you how backward these Palestine people are. What we propose is to put Billy Crystal, Woody Allen, and Paul Reiser along a fence line near the West Bank with a PA system, and then they start right after morning prayers around 9 a.m. with jokes. By lunchtime, I swear to you, Phil, everybody's sitting down and breaking bread together. Around noontime, bring on Seinfeld doing his observational comedy. You know, did you ever notice that why they throw rocks and everything's cooled down? What we're trying...
Hold on for a minute. You're saying to take Woody Allen, Paul Reiser, and...
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal, put them along that Palestinian fence line there in the West Bank, and they start doing jokes.
I'm saying use the Jewish person to great advantage in this situation where they're charming. When they want to face them down with bullets.
All right, I understand what you're saying. You're saying send Jewish American entertainers down to Israel to tell jokes and to dance and be in movies.
To entertain.
To entertain the Palestinians.
Yeah.
And that chills out the Middle East problem.
I am telling you again that when the Palestinian people see Jewish people at their best, charming, joking around, asking if they want to have their drink freshened. And that,
well, how are they going to ask a Palestinian if he wants his drink freshened?
And I'm saying figuratively. They go down.
Yeah, but this whole idea of putting Billy Crystal along a fence line with a PA system telling jokes.
I will tell you right now that by noon.
By noon, everybody's breaking bread.
Yes, sir. And it was a crazy thing. I work with Bob Radiman here, who's Jewish. So this is not anti-Semitic humor. But he said we could call the whole festival Jewapalooza or something like. Humor is universal, Phil.
And it, well, you're going to knock off that Jewapalooza thing.
No, I'm just saying, you know. But humor is universal. And it's something that even the Palestinians, as backward as they are. And
you made a few references to how backward the Palestinian people are. Now, the only thing you got to back that up.
Well, they are.
Yeah, but the only thing you have to back that up is that they're throwing rocks. Okay? And maybe it's because the only weapons they have are rocks.
But they don't have any sophistication when it comes to the world of entertainment. The Jewish people do. And not only that, the Jewish people have a strong entertainment base in America. So you have Jewish folks who come from America, are very entertaining. They could go down there and they could begin to give these Palestinians some sense of civilization. Because what you want to do is you want to go down there.
Well, it sounds very anti-Palestinian. I don't think it.
No, but you don't tell them that. But the problem that's going on right now, Phil, with these people is these Palestinians are so backward and they're very uncivilized. You got to get some Jews down there that can do jokes and get them to clean up.
All right. Can you hold on?
What?
Can you hold on?
Yeah.
All right. That's Brad Rifkin from American Global Systems International. He is a think tank. The Palestinian and Israeli situation, obviously at a crisis point, and there is great violence along not only the West Bank and Gaza Strip, but in Israel itself. He's suggesting that a team of American Jewish entertainers go down there and tell jokes to somehow civilize the Palestinian people into putting down the rocks. And he's right about one thing. All they are doing is throwing rocks. I don't know if that symbolizes any lack of sophistication or civilization for that matter. This is the Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. Brad Rifkin is with us from American Global Systems International, which is a think tank here in Los Angeles, and he's talking to us about the Middle East situation, the crisis right now as it exists. Apparently the deadline has passed. The Prime Minister of Israel has said that the peace process is going to cease because of this violence between Israelis and Palestinians, both inside of Israel and in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Brad, question. You are proposing some kind of a USO of American Jewish entertainers to go down there and to chill out the Palestinians by telling jokes?
But you mentioned it in the grand tradition of USO. This is not something unusual. Jewish people are seen as evil by these Palestinians. What I'm trying to do is show them the face of a good Jew. And if you can go down there, you may be able. I have a friend of mine who is Palestinian, and he works here in the city. He comes from a Palestinian family. We were watching Cool Hand Luke on TV the other night. You ever seen that movie?
Sure, with Paul Newman.
Right. And I said to him, "This Paul," and he loves the movie. I said, "You know Paul Newman's a Jew?" And he said, "Get out of here." I said, "No, Paul Newman's Jewish." He said, "If I could take that back to Palestine, if I could take Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid back to Palestine."
What? They wouldn't...
There might be some progress made.
So all the diplomacy in the world, but if they just could see Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, we'd be moving along.
We'd be moving in the... Fran Drescher is huge in Palestine. Fran Drescher is huge in the Gaza Strip. The Nanny reruns are...
Are you telling me they rerun the Nanny in the Gaza Strip?
Yes, they do. And they are huge. They are number one. If she were to pull those kind of numbers here in the States, she'd still be working. I'm telling Fran, if she's out there, Fran, you have got, I would definitely contact whoever runs Palestine Television. And
all right, hold on for just a second here. 1-800-449-8686.
But she's big.
She's big. All right, here is Los Angeles on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
My question with sending comedians down and Jewish comedians is that how do we know that the Palestinians are going to find their jokes funny? You're talking about a different culture, and they may be watching reruns of The Nanny.
Well, they're watching American culture, and American culture is dominated with Jewish comedians and Jewish entertainers, so there'd be no problem. I mean, they're right. They're there. They see what's going on. Like I said, this friend of mine didn't even know Paul Newman was Jewish. He loves Paul Newman. They love Fran Drescher. I'll tell you who is huge in Palestine and the West Bank is William Shatner and the whole Star Trek thing. He's Jewish.
I'd be interested to see if Yasser Arafat or if any of the leaders of the more militant Palestinians.
Yasser Arafat told me that one of his favorite films was The Fly with Jeff Goldblum. And so, I know, it's funny.
Wait a minute.
No, I swear to God.
Yasser Arafat said one of his favorite films is with Jeff Goldblum?
Yes.
The Fly.
Yes. Which is Jeff's, I'm sure you'd agree, Jeff's best work.
Yeah, The Fly is pretty cool, but I didn't know that. Is it just big with Yasser Arafat?
Yeah, it's big with him. And I said to him, are you aware that Jeff Goldblum is a Jew? And he said, stop it. I said, he said, shut up. I said, Jeff Goldblum is a Jew. And it changed his thinking.
To see Jewish people as charming and...
To see them as charming, entertaining, friendly, talented people, yes.
Well, I guess I just have to say, I have a hard time believing that would work, because we're talking about two groups of people who have hated each other for thousands of years. I mean, the tension, the enmity goes back so far.
That's very true. But it goes back because it's a lot of humorless...
But
that's Israelis. There's a lot of humorless Israelis.
But it's more than dislike. I mean, this is like...
Olivia Newton-John is huge in Syria. And she's Jewish. And
God, I never knew this.
It's Phil, you have to get into the culture.
Olivia Newton-John is huge in Syria?
Yes, and the lady's laughing. But this is what happens when you get outside of yourself and you begin to see the rest of the world. And Mark Frankel, very big in Syria.
I don't even know who he is.
That's right, but the Syrians love him. And so that's what...
So Olivia Newton-John, they're still buying her records in Syria.
In Syria, in some parts of Qatar, and in the United Arab Emirates. Huge in the United Arab Emirates.
But will loving American Jewish entertainers... Will
solve
that,
the problem.
Will that change the way they view their own...
It's a very good question, ma'am, but I think what it does do is it puts a human face on Jews and on the Jewish people, and then you're ahead of the game.
Thank you for your call, ma'am, and some good questions. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, one thing you got to understand, white people started to like black people when they realized that blacks, you know, could tap dance, play jazz real good. One of the things that...
But that's a little demeaning, I mean...
Well, you got to start somewhere. I mean, where do you start? I mean, Jackie Robinson did more to change white people's attitudes about black people, you know...
But you're the one who's saying the Palestinians are backward.
Well, if they're throwing rocks, if the rock throwing keeps up, they're going to start to throw their own feces. They're going to start to crap into their hand and...
Okay, man, I mean...
Well, that's the way these people are. You've got the civil... You got to civilize them.
Olivia Newton-John, and you said who's huge in on the West Bank?
Who did I say? Well, I know Harpo Marx is still very...
Harpo Marx.
Yes. What are you laughing at?
Harpo Marx is big on the West Bank. You mean all the Marx brothers?
No, just the Marx brothers, but Harpo, they love him, because I think it has something to do with the mute act that he played. But
no, you said some other entertainer. What did you say?
I forget.
What other guy did he say? Was huge on the West Bank? Oh, Paul Newman.
Right, Paul Newman. And I also mention Mandy Patinkin?
Mandy Patinkin?
Yeah. Yasser Arafat loves him.
All right.
He's on Chicago Hope.
Is that the show?
That's it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We're talking with Brad Rifkin of a think tank about the Mideast problem and what we can do to try to solve the tensions down there. He is claiming that some very prominent American Jewish entertainers are big... Fran Drescher, he said, was huge in the Gaza Strip. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Brad Rifkin from American Global Systems International, a think tank on how to best bring both sides together, the Palestinians, the Arabs, and the Israelis in this Middle East peace crisis that is going on now and is going into its like 12th or 13th day. Your idea, though, very, very unorthodox to bring American Jewish entertainers over there and have them tell jokes and...
Well, to do what American Jewish entertainers do well is to be charming and to show the Palestinians that they're not evil people. And that
yeah, but you're telling me the Fran Drescher,
Olivia Newton-John, and Paul Newman, three huge performers in Palestine, and you know parts of Saudi Arabia. Liza Minnelli is huge in Saudi Arabia.
Liza Minnelli, is she Jewish?
Yes, she's Jewish. She had a Jewish something. I think her mother was Jewish. But
Liza Minnelli?
Yeah, that's right.
And she's big in Saudi Arabia.
She's a monster in Saudi Arabia. She could leave here today. And just tour Saudi Arabia.
How many towns are they? Can you tour? I wonder what a tour date.
She could tour Saudi Arabia and parts of Iraq, because
God, it's just the stuff that you're telling me,
Phil. It's a very big world, and there is an awful lot going on out there that Americans simply don't know anything about.
That Liza Minnelli is huge in Iraq.
That she's huge in Iraq, and a lot of American entertainers are. Paul Reiser is huge in Iraq.
And you mean the TV show Mad About You?
Yeah, the one with Helen Hunt, right?
All right, so the idea is to get them down there and get them entertaining Palestinians.
Otherwise, they're very backward people. And I'm not kidding. You didn't want me to say it, but they're throwing rocks today. Tomorrow they may be throwing their own feces like a baby. They've got to somehow get hip and get wised up.
All right, let's go to Elisa Viejo. Elisa Viejo on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, yes.
Hi.
I'd like to respond to the gentleman that you have on the radio.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
And, you know, first of all, the only reason that we throw rocks is because we don't have any other way to defend ourselves. So I don't think by doing that you can say that we are not civilized people.
Well, ma'am, can I ask you, do you realize throwing a rock at a tank is like, it's not going to hurt nobody, right?
Of course it's not going to hurt anybody,
well,
but
so what
else can we do to defend ourselves? So saying that humor is going to take care of this whole situation has got to be, excuse me, stupid.
Well, there's a lot of charming Jews. You will admit that, right?
You know what? There's a lot of charming Arabs, you know, and I'm charmed by a lot of Arabs.
The only one that I know is Casey Kasem. I don't know any other.
What are you talking about, entertainers?
Yeah, the only charming Arab that I ever met was Casey Kasem. And
doesn't matter how charming they are.
And,
they're not.
And Danny Thomas.
The bottom line is that we don't have our physical needs met. And our physical needs need to be met before.
Are you an Arab, ma'am? Are you Arab?
Of course, yes, I am. I'm Palestinian.
Do you know where Danny Thomas is from?
You know what? I really don't care.
Danny Thomas was Lebanese.
All I care about.
Yeah, there you go.
It's finding a homeland, finding peace and harmony, and living my life like everybody else.
I know, but let me just say.
Like everybody else that has a country, I would like a country just as.
Let me just say something, ma'am. But let me just say something. If you see Paul Reiser, but hold on.
As you are of coming.
Wait a minute.
You took by force. I want to be just as proud. I want to be just as proud to have my own country the way that you are.
Yeah, well, the first thing you're going to have to do is buy some guns because that rock thing isn't going to work, okay?
Does that make me uncivilized? No. That makes me human.
But, ma'am,
that makes me human.
If you get a load of Paul Reiser's stand-up, you'll forget all about that homeland bullcrap.
You know what?
You'll be laughing your ear at.
What do you mean?
You have one.
Wait a second.
The only reason you say that is because you have one. See, what your physical needs are met.
Are you living somewhere right now?
You know what? If you were educated, listen to Maslow's hierarchy, then you would understand how it works. Your physical needs are met. See, you're up to your self-actualization. You obviously have nothing to do.
I got a toilet. I got a car. You got the same thing that I got.
Everything. I do have it here, but they don't have it over there. And that's what I have to fight for.
But what I'm saying is, if you show them a mark...
I don't care about Danny Thomas. I don't care about Liza Minnelli. I don't care about your comedy or your
comedian. Then why is Fran Drescher so big over in the West Bank?
That isn't going to put shelter over my head or food in my stomach or in my people's
stomach.
I'm going
to say this, ma'am. This is the truth. Hold on for a minute. This is the truth, Phil, because I got a call from two friends of mine over in the West Bank. They had a very hot day Friday. The rioting was pretty bad over there. As soon as the nanny came on at 7, everybody left the street.
And it,
what are you talking
like
about?
I'm an idiot.
You call an idiot, ma'am. You're calling us idiots. When listen to yourself.
Wait a second.
I hope you tape recording this show so that you can listen to the way you sound.
No, what,
because
what
everybody, the majority, even the Jewish people will think you're an idiot.
Why am I an idiot?
When I'm not the guy.
I didn't run indoors and watch the nanny. They did. And
you're telling me that all the Palestinians left the street to watch the nanny.
It comes out
you
at 7
what?
In Palestine, yeah.
Why do you sound so stupid?
Why do I sound so stupid? Lady, you are just upset.
Educated?
You're upset because people love Olivia Newton-John in Iraq.
Homeland. I'm upset because I don't have a homeland. You think humor is gonna get me my homeland? No, it's not.
I'm saying that it will help you.
Fight. Of course we're going to defend ourselves. That's all we have.
Well,
that's
I got to tell you something. Have. You ain't going to get no homeland with rocks. And you
Will you stop it already? She knows that.
At least we're doing it with something, okay?
Yeah.
We don't have the guns
rocks
that you have.
Work.
We
but
don't have the ammunition
rocks
that
work.
You have.
But Richard Dreyfuss is going to help you.
All right. I hear you, ma'am. Ma'am, thank you for your call. This is Phil Hendry. I understand that you're angst.
Yeah, but ma'am, just sit down with a rerun of The Nanny.
Forget about that. Will you let the
you
lady say
what nanny, could you know what? You and the nanny.
Ma'am, because Annie Sprinkle is a fan.
Annie Sprinkle is a porn star.
She's Jewish.
Well, you know
all
what?
Right, ma'am.
I really don't care. I just give a damn.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call, ma'am. Don't you understand that you're upsetting a lot of...
Phil, I am trying to find a solution to a horrible situation in the Middle East. And
you're telling me that as of 7 o'clock Friday night when the nanny came on in the West Bank, the street's empty.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry for telling the truth, Phil. I'm sorry for coming on your show and speaking the truth.
All right, here is West Hollywood on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, I've been listening to this fellow, and, you know, although everything he
and Yehudi Menuhin, too.
Completely absurd.
Yehudi Menuhin.
Yeah.
The idea that he considers the Palestinians and quite obviously most Arabic people in general to be of an intellect somewhere between a piece of bubble gum and its wrapper.
Well, it's not that I consider it. It happens to be a fact that they enjoy these different entertainers. If you think they're stupid, that's your problem. I'm simply saying, sir, that in certain parts of the Arab world, there are a great many Jewish American entertainers that are very popular. And I would
say that's true.
the Jewish people could have a human face put on their nation by sending Jeff Goldblum over there. I'd rather send Jeff Goldblum or you, because you sound like a real humorless guy who probably has a cob wedge way, way up there, and you need surgical extraction
of
the cob from your butthole. Now, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, do you know how big that is in Iran?
If I
Holy
were Jewish,
God.
I would be extremely embarrassed.
Peter Himmelman, who's the son-in-law to Bob Dylan, by the way, is big.
All right, I didn't hear what either one of you guys were saying because you were topping over. All I heard was that you said that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is huge in Iran.
Yes, it is.
You know, I honestly think that this poor guy suffers from further than...
I've been to these parts of the world, sir. I've been to these parts of the world. You haven't.
And you sound like you've been hurt, too.
Hurt by what? I want peace. I want peace and more reruns
peace,
of the nanny.
Let me have a piece of my, you know, just let me talk.
All right, thanks a lot there, Ace. San Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
San Antonio, hello, yes.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think
we're talking about the Mideast crisis with Brad Rifkin.
Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits.
Never mind about all the Jewish guys, you know.
I think this guy is totally ridiculous. Why do you think...
Have you been to the West Bank, sir?
I have been to the Middle East. I'm in the military, and I've been
there. I'm not talking about some base in Saudi Arabia.
Have you gone into the
West Bank or places like that?
Yes, I have been over there, yes.
All right. Did you catch, walking by a storefront, where you would see, like, Leonard Nimoy on the reruns?
Well, you know, I think
our culture is in every...
Every overseas location,
right?
That's irrelevant.
David Duchovny.
What I'm saying is, you sound totally ridiculous.
I want peace before the Palestinians start throwing their own crap, and I don't think that that's ridiculous.
And why are you being disrespectful towards the Palestinian people?
This lady says that she wants to keep the tanks from killing her, and they're throwing rocks at a tank.
You know, listen to this. You want peace over there?
Get David Schwimmer to make an appearance.
It's totally ridiculous what you're saying.
Actually, the only Jew that they don't like over there is David Schwimmer. All the others they love.
So you think these people have been hating
Schwimmer
each other for
would cause
thousands
World War III.
Of years, and you think that because you sent some comedians over there, they're going to start liking each other?
Yeah.
That's what you think?
That's what I think.
That is totally ridiculous.
They see Andrew Hsu over there.
All these people you're mentioning, Andrew Hsu, he's big?
Huge.
And what do you mean David Schwimmer's not popular?
He's the only Jew they don't like on TV.
Phil, come on now.
And Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. The Nanny clears the streets at 7. The Phil Henry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686. It's really difficult to make that situation over there relatable because it just seems like it's been going on for so long and will continue to go on for a long, long time. And yet people just they're not into that. So that's why I wanted to talk about something else. And now I forgot what the hell it was. Here it is. Here's a list of, because it got me to thinking about some of those people that Brad Rifkin was talking about. And if you just joined us, we're talking about the Middle East situation between the Arabs and Israelis. And by the way, if you know any Israelis, do you know any Israelis, Mike? I know a couple. These are without a doubt the toughest people. They're tough. I'm not talking about bravado. I'm not talking about phony baloney macho. I mean, these people are tough, bad dudes. They all have to spend time in the army, and I'm not, they're not just cooling their heels in some post someplace. I mean, we're talking about a friend of mine who is in the insurance business, was in the Israeli army. You know what this guy's job was? Going over the border into Lebanon and detonating, you know, setting bombs in these Palestinian terrorist camps and things. This guy was doing this like every other night. You know, so in other words, they're living, it's a nation under siege, and the army over there isn't just some, nobody's loafing on a barrack someplace, nobody is standing around polishing a Jeep. They are on alert, man, morning, noon, and night, and you saw that during the Gulf War. When the United States is trying to tell Israel, stay out of it, please, even if they drop Scuds into Jerusalem, even if they drop Scuds in Tel Aviv, which is what they did, please don't get involved. They had their pilots sitting in those jets, they wanted to scramble those things so bad and go out and fight their own fight. They don't have nobody fight no fight for them. And that was very difficult for them to sit there and listen to Bush and the rest of these diplomats tell them, just chill and we'll take care of it. But they did. Anyway, I have a list here of American entertainers, Jewish entertainers. And every now and again, you come across one like that Olivia Newton-John reference. Is he sure about that? Forget about whether Olivia Newton-John's number one in Syria or not. Is she Jewish? And sometimes people will just take a name, what sounds Jewish to me, like Walt Weiss. Walt Weiss, who is a ball player, major league ball player. Are you sure he's Jewish? Just because the name sounds that way doesn't necessarily mean. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Wouldn't know, would you? And who's the other one on Sex and the City? Sarah Jessica Parker. Jewish? Why? Because she has the nose? How do you know? Some of these people, I don't know what research they do. Then you have Kathy Lee Epstein Gifford. Well, that just about figures that one out. But names that you'll throw at people occasionally, they'll go, geez, I didn't know he's Jewish. Paul Newman. Melissa still can't believe that Paul Newman's Jewish. And, of course, I have to look at Melissa and say, well, why? Is there a problem there that he is Jewish? And she's nodding her head vigorously, yes, there is. I can't be in love with him anymore. He's Jewish. Paul Simon, you could pretty much figure that one out, couldn't you? When your partner's name is Garfunkel, I don't know. Oh, you like them uncut. Oh, God. Jane Seymour. Jewish entertainers in America. Robin Williams. He said he was Jewish on Oprah. I don't believe that. And, of course, Adam Sandler. Telly Savalas. Guess what? There's no way. I'm reading this list, by the way, from an Aryan Nations website. So I think these guys got their brains where their rear ends are, which is generally the case with those guys. Telly Savalas is Greek, you idiots. Just because the cat's got a name like Savalas, hell, he's got to be a Jew. Put him on the list. Oh, you knew his nephew and he is Jewish? All right. My hat's off to Aryan Nations. Then there's Bob Marley. Father was Jewish, mother was black. Michelle Lee, actress, Knots Landing. Ron Jeremy, porn star. Great. Wasn't there another porn star named Herschel Savage? How do we know he's Jewish? Well, that first name has got to be a tip-off. Richard Gere. Mama Cass, Eddie Cantor, Sandra Bullock, Mel Brooks, Albert Brooks, Ernest Borgnine. Jella Biafra. Irving Berlin. Beck. How do you get that? How do you get Beck? Woody Allen, Richard Dreyfuss, and on and on and on and on it goes. But it's always an interesting... I used to... I don't want to say who, but I have a relative of mine coming from the old school, the old thought processes, the old generations, who used to whisper. Because in my family, my father, who was adopted, the rumor in my family was that my grandfather was Jewish. He was a Jewish businessman that fathered my dad, although my father never knew who his father was, and he barely knew who his real mother was. He was adopted and raised in the home of adopted parents. So my mom one day said to me, you know, and you can just understand, and please forgive my mother, she's, you know, in her 80s, and she just comes from that generation of people. She says, well, you know, for the longest time, we believed that your grandfather was Jewish. Because it has to be whispered, you see. And do you know that your Aunt Gladie, before she married Uncle George, she was going out, really nice guy, great, but we found out he was Jewish. So she's whispering all this stuff. I said, Mom, the guy that lives across from me, is he black? Yeah, he's black. Okay, great. Very nice guy, lives across the hall, really sweet man, very handsome guy, always helping me out. Oh, that's really great, Mom, but he's black. Oh, okay. But that's the generation, you know, they whispered all that stuff. You know, that Jackie Robinson, hell of a ball player, right? Yeah, he's black. Okay. So I don't know why I was mentioning that, but if you want to check it out, I asked Melissa, I said, well, get me a list of, Jewish American performers. And so she immediately went to the Aryan Nations website. So thank you very much for that. She went to something called Jew Watch. Whatever. Good Lord. I know just the site. I was on it last night. Good Lord. Do you know that your father might have been B-L-A-Q-U-E? Okay. That's someone else in our family does that. Well, you know that they're B-L-A-Q-U-E. Okay, anyway. So I can make these comments about Jewish people because now we find that Phil Hendry may be a quarter Jew. So there you go, right? That I got a little Jewish blood, so therefore I can be self-effacing and self-deprecating, and I can make comments that otherwise would be reserved only for people of Jewish origin. Well, guess what? I'm a Jew. Therefore, never mind. I was going to say something, but Mike didn't write it fast enough. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I had a thought, but Schaefer didn't give me his thought in time. And don't forget that on November the 2nd, between 4 and 7, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Museum of Radio and Television in Beverly Hills. If there's some kind of a contact number, I suppose we could give it to people, but otherwise, just show up. And tickets are free. It's a 150-seat theater. So it'd be a very, very, very limited number of people that'll be allowed in to watch us do our show. That'll be on Thursday, 4 to 7, at November the 2nd, at the Museum of Television and Radio. This is the Phil Hendry Show.